Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Hello everybody, I am Jay Sun of the Golf News Net Radio Network, and we are back with the fourth and final segment of the Jay's Play Show. It's the Ryder Cup preview version of Jay's Play Show, actually. We are just a couple of days away, and all of us at the Golf News Net will be covering it for you. You'll have all kinds of stuff to read and to listen to at www.thegolfnewsnet.com, and then you can hear all the radio shows of both myself and Ryan Valenti, and even the other writers and broadcasters at GMN at www.thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. And so right now, we are going to go back to Jim Pavlik of Red Tail Golf Club. Jim, good to have you again for the last thing you said.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.
All right, so right now it's time for the JB's Best Trivia Question Contest, okay? Every guest gets a chance to win a bottle of JB's Best Hot Sauce and T-shirt that says Hottie. You got an opportunity question right, and I think you drew a bit of a long straw with this one. We might get ourselves a winner finally. So here we go, Jim. Here's your question for a free bottle of hot sauce and free T-shirt. What is Phil Mickelson's middle name?
No idea.
What is Phil Mickelson's middle name? Throw out a wild guess.
Jackson.
We're looking for Alfred. We also made famous by Dan Jenkins, and one of his tweets from his articles, instead of doing something crazy, Jenkins pretended to be Phil's mother and wrote, "Phil, Alfred Mickelson, you get back in this house right now." For a while, I'm confident I used to joke around calling Phil Alf. That led to those memes going on Twitter, and so, of course, having a good sense of humor by law. All right, well, we didn't get to know the trivia contest this time, but we'll try again. JB's Best. It's on every table in the South. Everybody go and order a bottle of it online and check it out. That's basically like real sauce. In a bottle, and it's out of this world, and it's good on everything, lipsticks and fingertips included. Well, anyway, it's Ryder Cup week, and, it is the Ragnarok of golf. We build this thing up for 2 years, we ladder up fans, everybody involved in the various golf industry agencies are all, a nervous wreck right now, rooting for their team. And with one player left to be selected on the U.S. side, that'll be Sunday afternoon, we'll be ready to go. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you see the Ryder Cup's going to go this year? I have my opinion. I don't know who I think's going to win, but how do you think the Americans are going to do?
Well, my opinion on the Ryder Cup is that the Americans definitely need to win. If they don't win, the Ryder Cup is going to lose its luster. It's going to be a non-interesting event. When you can only win 2 times out of 11, it's going to go back to where it was before Europe got involved, and it's really not going to be that important of an event. So we have slipped pretty far, and if this team, just like Captain Love said, this is the greatest assembled team. Well, assembling great teams and winning are two different things. So if they want to keep the Ryder Cup a hot topic, the USA better win, or it's going to go certainly to the back burner, my opinion.
But do you think we're going to win anyway?
Well, I think we're going to win. I think we have the better team and the best players, but we've got to have a little bit of an attitude change from those players because a lot of those players have been on losing teams before, and it's going to take a pretty good soul search to go from being a loser and having that kind of feeling inside your body to being a winner. So they really have a major challenge, and it's going to be up to them to step up to the plate and get the job done.
Well, as I've been reviewing everything and looking up and down the list of the rosters and examining what they've done with Hazel Team National Golf Club, I could be horribly, horribly wrong, but I think the Americans are going to blow them out of the water. And I can give you 3 reasons why. first and most important one is experience. There are 6 Ryder Cup rookies on the European team, and there is only 1 on the U.S. team. And I think that that's an enormous advantage for the Americans.
We've been there before, my friend.
Well, it's such a dramatic disparity, though. We've been there before, but the Euros haven't. We've got 6 guys that are coming up that are brand new. Chris Wood, Andy Sullivan, and on and on and on, up and down the list. So we're really going to have a tough time, okay? Matt Fitzpatrick, Danny Willett, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, they're going to have to play together. Oh, and Thomas Peters as well. No matter what happens, in each session, 2 rookies will definitely be playing, either with each other or paired with veterans. Now, my guess is that they're probably trying to hide the rookies a little bit during the first couple of sessions. I doubt that we will see, you know, 4 rookies playing with each other on the Euro side in, say, Friday morning football or foursomes. More likely in football than in foursome, but that is just going to be a very tough juggling act for the European team. They're going to have to be able to give these guys enough experience after, so that come Sunday singles, they're warmed up and ready to play, but you don't want to get them into a situation where they start struggling early and get behind by too great a score to come back on Sunday. There's a huge advantage also in the way the American team is broken down, in that we've got that pod system, once again, that works so well at Valhalla. That 3 groups of 4 players, each little group having its own internal chemistry. And so you really don't need 12 guys all together in one group think. You've got 3 groups of 4 doing it, and so it can be more compartmentalized and easier to manage. For example, you got DJ, Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, and Ricky Fowler. They're all friends, and they all play together. And they all happen to play very well together, with the exception of the one time with Fowler and Mickelson and something like 0-4, back about 4 years ago. So, you've got that type of chemistry, and you've got Zach Johnson, who plays very well with Jordan Spieth. Both of them are born again Christians, neither one of them is all that long a player. And actually, Spieth might not be a born again Christian, but they're both very religious. And the two of them are of a kind of Zen, you know, mindset together. Okay, I remember when Zach Johnson had a win with Tiger Woods, that was a disaster. Okay, because the two of them were like oil and water. You know, and of course, Tiger being such a dominating personality, Zach kind of felt, you know, it was tough for Zach that time around. But this time, you know, we've got those two can play very well together. You've got Matt Kuchar, who can play very well with Jimmy Walker. Similar lengths, similar states of mind, similar temperaments. If Bubba Watson makes the team instead of Bill Hodge, he will team very well with J.B. Holmes. You know, you will probably see that, or perhaps we will see Watson with Snedeker or Holmes with Snedeker. Round out that with Brooks Koepka, the only rookie on the American team. So you look like you got a winning side even going across the pond. When you couple the fact that they're going to be at home at Hazeltine National, of course, it hasn't really led to the Euros since Tony Joplin won in 1970. Hazeltine is a Robert St. Jones Parkland pure architecture style of golf course, and it doesn't play well with the Euros all that much. Remember, the Euros started to go to Parkland courses in the UK because they were having such trouble winning on them in America. That's why one of the reasons why we don't see Royal Birkdale or Royal Rhythm or St. Andrews as host when the Euros hosted. You know, now also one of the other reasons why I don't see that is that they're too tied into these big money deals with these hotels. You know, they go to these grandiose, ostentatious, palatial, you know, $500 a night resorts to, you know, basically sell rooms and real estate. But those are two of the 3 reasons that I think that we're going to have an enormous advantage. The third one is going to beat the fans. Okay, they're going to come out plenty deep in Minnesota. There's no state that has more golfers per capita than Minnesota. They love golf to the, from the top of their blonde heads to their saddle Oxford golf shoes. You know, and I saw it in 2009 at the PGA and in 2003 at the PGA. Minnesota Nice. Okay, all those people, all golf lovers coming out there and supporting the game, where they'll all be wearing red, white, and blue. And so those six rookies are going to feel like strangers in a strange land. Give us your thoughts on Hazel Dune National and on Minnesota as a host venue.
Okay, here's the thing. You lost 8 out of the last 10. You could talk about all the strategies you want to, how everybody fits together, but the Americans better put their spikes on and play golf. Your strategies and who's could play together, we've heard this for the last 10 years, and yada, 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 yada. The whole thing is about who wins.
And yes,
there's you can't say this guy's going to do good with this guy. We've heard these before. We got to put the ball in the hole. And when you lose 8 out of 10, you're not doing well.
Well, yeah, the past is the past. And one of the things that people make mistakes when they're gambling on sports events make is taking too long a look at what just happened. You know, that whole we-do argument.
No matter what you want to do in the past, happen this way and that way, you still have to golf, and you still got to put the ball in the hole, and you still have to win. No excuses going forward, no great strategies that are going to make us better. We'll know on Sunday afternoon who the better players are. That's the way it is, a winner and a loser.
Yeah, and once you have the team except the other one won't. Well, the thing is that I think we look good though. Dustin Johnson's playing fantastic golf. And the American side have really been focused. We've got the strongest players we could have asked for, and we've got experience, and plus the golf course has been set up to favor us. It's gonna play like a pool of architecture park with style golf course. David Love and his team worked very hard on that. Now, one of the things that's going to be interesting to look out for is that they have resequenced holes, Jim. It is not going to play the normal 1-18 routing that we saw from the PGA. What's going to happen is they're going to play holes 1-4. Then they're going to cross over 5 and play 14 and play 13-18. They're going to tee off on 10 on the back and play 10-13, and then finish on hole 6-9. The reason why is that the holes along the water, 16 and 17, would cut off effectively half of the fans from being able to see those matches, because there's no way to put stands on the other side because of the higher edge you were at a lake, a lake oval. So they decided to resequence the holes so that more people could see the finish of the matches. And while it was good on television at the very least, and it did, we get the fans out to both sides of the fairway on 17, 18, and on 16. And people would be able to move around the golf course more easily as well. Plus, everyone would be able to see that it would normally be the 16th hole, it actually now be the 7th. So you want to go iconic holes as your 15 national. And so you want everybody to see the crown jewel of the golf course, during competition. So it's a pretty interesting bit of resequencing that things like that have happened in the past. They've resequenced, for example, the country club into what's called a composite course. We have two courses at the country club in Brooklyn, as you know. In fact, you can probably tell us more about that. Give us your recollections of the country club.
Here's my point. Even if they play it at a 9-hole municipal golf course, the secret here is to get, for the Americans, is to get 14.5 points. I really don't care where they play, if it's the country club or if it's Hazleton, if it's Redtail, where it is. They need 14.5 points. So golf course is getting set up one way or another. Like I said, I don't care if they're at a 9-hole municipal course, because that's the only thing available. They still need to have 14.5 points And that's what this Ryder Cup is all about.
Well, they've got the horses to be able to do it. If DJ plays up to his potential, if
when
Steve
they never
plays
had,
up
when have
potential,
they never had the horses? When have they never had the horses?
There have been times when we've had four rookies on the team in the past. There have been a number of occasions. There were times when Fowler was a rookie. There were times when Speak was a rookie. There were times when DJ was a rookie. Heck, there was even a time 11 jumps back ago when Mickelson was a rookie. But this is the time when we've got the biggest advantage and it comes at home. Plus, the good players are peaking. Pat Green is peaking. Dustin Johnson is peaking right now. The European side has been a little bit up and down. Rory has not, hasn't really scored as much as he did last year or earlier in the season. Yes, Henrik Stenson has come on. But they're going to be behind the eight ball if they're going to rely on Sergio Garcia and Ernie Westwood to carry the team. Justin Rose and Martin Kiner and Rory and Henrik give you a good one for sure. But after that, who do you got? It's advantage, USA through the lineup. Yeah, and that's why I think we're just going to outlast them. We're better ahead early, we'll hold the lead, and we'll increase it on Sunday. I think we win at least 3 of 5 sessions, some of them very handily. But again, as long as the guys, don't break psychologically, but it's going to be very difficult for that to happen because they're playing at home, and everybody's rooting for them. It's just going to be a greater comfort zone. The Euros are going to be out on an island. Yes, they're going to bring a lot of the fans, but certainly they're going to be outnumbered. It's 6 guys that have not had Ryder Cup experience. I mean, Roy McIlroy once said that he couldn't even take the club back. He was so petrified on the first tee. And Webb Simpson showed their driver. There's something about the pressure of the Ryder Cup that, even more so than a Masters or an Open Championship or a U.S. Open, it really gets to these guys, whether it's playing for country or whether it's 2 years of anticipation or whether it's, you've got a lot of other guys that are relying on you, the team aspect of it perhaps, or maybe it's some combination of all of them. Plus, we should have one other advantage. We do this every year. In all the years, we play the Internationals in the President's Cup. Neither the Internationals nor the Euros play each other or play a match in the off year. So you would think that the extra practice would be a point in favor of the Americans as well, wouldn't you?
Yes. But why? How? Back to the whole thing. Europeans beat us a number of times with people we never even heard of. Again, all I want to see is a win. Anything short of a win this time, the Ryder Cup is not a spotlight in golf in America. We've gone way. We need to step up and win this one. I'm 100% rooting for USA, but they need to, plain and simple, they need to win. There's no excuses.
Well, they know that, and that's the attitude that they're taking, and it seems like they're, to coin the phrase that Chris Furman uses all the time, circling the wagons. So we will find out more come Friday morning. Jim, it was great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
All right, Jay, thanks. Great guy. Glad you got out.
We'll see you soon again.
Red Tail.
And everybody, it's been a great show. You've got to get out to Boston and get out and play Red Tail. What's the website again, Jim?
RedTailGolf.net.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for being a part of the show. We will be back later this week with more Jay players with Ryder Cup coverage. Everybody, have a great week.
We're at the end of another great Jay's Play show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as a theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner, including me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJQ.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.